OK, good evening, everyone. Bonsoir tout le monde. J'aimerais d'abord remercier le professeur Bouffard pour l'invitation. C'est toujours un plaisir, de, en tant que diplômé de l'Université McGill, de revenir au Bercail. My talk will be slightly different in that I'll be talking about thermal energy storage in buildings. And I will center my talk around three examples that we find in Quebec and in Canada. Basically, electric hot water tanks, high-temperature compact storage. And I will also talk about the success story, the Drake Landing Solar Community. Let's start perhaps by talking about the energy situation in Quebec. Here you have the electric energy consumption by sector, that's the 2011 statistics. On the left, you have the three major sectors, commercial, residential, and industrial. You can see that the residential sector has an energy consumption of about 34%. And if you look at this piece of the pie on the right, you'll see that space heating is responsible for 21% and domestic hot water for 4%. So adding these two numbers together, we get 25%. So 25% of all the energy consumption in Quebec is dedicated to residential space heating and domestic hot water. So that's a lot of energy for these two purposes. Now, if we look at the relative grid power supply in a cold climate, such as in Quebec, with a high penetration of electric space heating, such as in Quebec. And if we look at what happens over the year, this is January 1st and this is December 31st, we get a grid that resembles this curve here. In the winter, we get 100% of grid supply, and in the middle of the summer, this goes down to 60 to 70%. Now, this curve is particular to the province of Quebec. If we go to the next province in Ontario, this curve is totally different. It's much flatter, and in fact, the peak is in the summer. So in Quebec, we have a particular situation where the peak is definitely in the winter because of the space heating. Now, if we focus on one particular winter day, the peak winter day, we get something similar to this. Here we have grid power in megawatts, and we have this grid power over a 24-hour period, again, in the peak winter day. Last year, we hit a peak of close to 39,000 megawatts. And at that peak, about 11,000 megawatts was for residential space heating, and another 2,000 megawatts was for domestic hot water heating. So a lot of power for these two purposes. The other thing about this curve is you may have noticed there are two peaks. There's one peak in the morning when people get up, and there's another peak in the evening when people have supper. It's not a duck curve. I guess we can call it a camel curve or whatever. But anyway, this is significant. Of course, the utility don't like these peaks, and it would be nice to reduce these peaks and use these valleys to use these valleys for a good use. Now, if we summarize all these graphs that I've shown so far, a quarter of the total annual electric energy consumption is dedicated to space heating and domestic hot water, and about a third of the power demand at peak conditions is for residential space heating and domestic hot water. So that offers, I think, a great potential for power and energy savings using thermal energy storage. And again, I'll show you three examples, starting with electric hot water tanks. A typical Quebec family will consume about one tank full, which is about 250 liters per day. This corresponds to about 15 kilowatt hours per day, and on an annual basis, about 5,000 kilowatt hours. This is incidentally a tank that I have in my lab. It's not a commercial tank, it's a laboratory tank that's transparent for flow visualization studies. But I wanted to show that an electric hot water tank has basically two heating elements, one on the top and one on the bottom. Now, if we look at what's the average power demand of an electric hot water heater, this curve is shown in blue actually here, and the scale is on the right. So the average power demand of an electric hot water heater is about 1 kilowatt, okay? And we have 2.5 million hot water tanks in Quebec, so 1 kilowatt times 2.5 million, that's a lot of kilowatts. And I've superimposed on this the red curve that I've shown earlier, the total grid power in the peak day in Quebec. And as you can see, there's a correspondence in the peaks of the hot water tanks and the grid. And this offers a great possibility if we were to switch off some of the hot water tanks. It would enable us to reduce the grid peak. And in fact, I did a study a number of years ago, and I simulated what would happen if we were to shut off the bottom heating element of a quarter of a million hot water tanks in Quebec. And what would happen is that during the morning peak, we would have a reduced grid power, shown on the bottom curve here, and we would displace the load to the valley that we have in the mid-afternoon. So from a utility perspective, that's a good thing. And for the evening peak, we would be able to reduce this evening peak by about 500 megawatts just by shutting off the bottom heating element of an electric hot water tank. So that's, I think, one way to alleviate these peaks that we have on the grid, just by shutting off the bottom heating element with a timer, very basic stuff. The second example I wanted to show is a device that's been developed by some researchers at Hydro-Québec's research lab in Shawinigan, which I think is a kind of a neat device. It's basically a baseboard heater, and if you look inside, you have ceramic bricks that are heated with electric heating elements, and these bricks are heated up to about 500 degrees C. So we have high temperature thermal storage. And these bricks are heated overnight when we have a valley on the grid power. And when we need some heating during the day, we don't feed these electric heating elements. We just let this energy that's been stored used in the house or in the building, and it works great. Here you have some results in that were measured data at a building, a commercial building in Quebec City, the E.H. Price building. In this building, what they did, they installed about 60 of these radiators. And here we see the power curve over a 24-hour period. And you can see that overnight from midnight to about 8 in the morning, these units would be on, and they would draw about 100 kilowatts. And they would be most of them would be shut off in the morning, and they would not require much power during the daytime when the grid has these two peaks that I mentioned earlier. And in the evening at around 10 o'clock, then these units would be re-energized for the next day. On the top curve, you see the temperature inside these radiators. You can see that when we're charging them in the middle of the night, we are reaching about 500 degrees C, and as we discharge them, the temperature decreases to about 300 degrees C. We still have some energy at the end of this particular day. The third example I wanted to show is has to do with seasonal thermal energy storage. The first two examples were daily thermal energy storage. This is a curve that we often see. This is a full year. The red curve shows solar availability. We have more solar in the summer, as we all know. And the blue curve is the space heating needs in a northern climate such as our climate. So you can see that, as I mentioned in the bottom here, the space heating needs and solar availability are not in sync. It would be nice if we could store the solar energy that we have in the summer and use it in the winter, do what we call seasonal thermal energy storage. And the best example of this is actually in Canada. It's called the Drake Landing Solar Community. It's located near Calgary. And what you see on this picture taken in the winter, you see that it's been snowing. And the dark alleys are actually thermal solar collectors on the garage of each house. And we're collecting solar heat in this particular case in the winter, but we're also collecting solar heat in the summer. And we're actually using a system that's depicted here. This is a very basic schematic. It's a bit more complicated than that, but for this talk, I think it's adequate. What we're doing, basically, we have a solar collector. We're collecting solar energy in the summer, and we're storing it in the ground, actually, in what we call a borehole thermal energy storage. So we basically heat the ground to about 60, 70 degrees C. I'll show you some curves in a minute. And we use this stored energy to heat the houses in the winter. So we have a circuit where we feed the houses with hot water coming from the ground. And when we don't have enough heat from the ground, we just use auxiliary heating. This has been working fine for the last 5 years. Here we have measured temperature in the borehole storage over, again, a five-year period. So we've reached sort of a steady state, and as you can see, as indicated here, in the beginning of the summer, we charged the ground. We charged the ground. So I'll come back. There we go. Sorry about that. So we charged the ground up to about 60 degrees C, and when the winter starts, we pump this hot water, or in this particular case, it's hot water, to fill the space heating needs of the various houses. And we do this every year, and we can see the five cycles here, and it's been working fine. And the results, and this is my last slide. This shows the blue curve that I've shown earlier, the space heating needs. And with this facility, we were able to fill these needs with 95% solar. We only need about 5% of auxiliary heat. So we have what we call a solar fraction of 95% for space heating. So 95% of the space heating comes from renewable energy. So it's quite an accomplishment, and it's been working fine for the last 5 years. And I guess most of you haven't heard about it. So to summarize my talk, I think I've shown that buildings use a substantial amount of energy. Buildings in Quebec require a significant amount of power at peak conditions. There are solutions to reduce the energy and power impacts of building. And I've shown three example, electric hot water tanks, compact high temperature storage, and the last one, seasonable storage in boroughs. On that, I'll be happy to answer any questions during the Q&A session. Thank you.